You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire with Zoe and producer Anika on this Monday afternoon. That was Anika's piece talking to Lisa Lawrence from the National Council of Women in New Zealand regarding how of the 11,000 New Zealanders who lost their job in the pandemic, 10,000 or 90.91% of those were women. And you can catch the podcast of that on the 95BFM website if you just tuned in. I think it's a really interesting topic that not many people have spoken about yet. Up next, I interview Alistair Landles, who's a programmer who works in natural language processing with artificial intelligence. I've been binging Westworld recently, so this was incredibly interesting for me. I began by asking him what natural language processing is and how it relates to the technology that we interact with every single day.
Basically, it's enabling technology to be able to understand essentially human text. You can convert speech to text and other forms of communication to text, but it's that text to understanding which is what natural language processing is. And in today's day and age, the sort of things which you can see is certainly, for example, Siri on the iPhone or the similar products on from other suppliers, or even when you do something like as simple as a Google search, certain elements of artificial intelligence will come into play to try and guess what you're trying to type into, to say, a search field.
So the program Teneo, which is built by Artificial Solutions, allows you to build artificially intelligent solutions that understand and act on what people are saying, however they say it, sort of what you were just speaking about, how Google guesses what you're trying to say. And this program, it doesn't matter what language you say it in, whether you use text, voice, touch or gesture to communicate. This seems just like such a big task. How do you even begin programming all of the different variations that can happen with language and tone when humans are speaking or writing casually?
This product deals with, like I said, the text to the understanding part. It also has built into it mechanisms for being able to give an answer or generate some sort of instructions, which could be an answer. With regard to languages, we actually deal with each language separately, but we focus on a sort of 15 to 20 core languages, but we can cope with over 35 now, I believe. In fact, we just added Indonesian and Malaysian the other day. With regard to variations in language, it's important to understand that natural language processing is typically, in terms of modern development, which I'm talking about the last 5 years, is based generally on what's called machine learning, which is basically throwing a lot of data at effectively a computer program and doing statistics on it. I like to say that machine learning effectively is doing statistics, or having statistics on steroids. The company I work for historically actually has developed a different way of trying to solve this problem by using what's called a linguistic model, which looks at all the sort of, if you take an expression, for example, I'd like to buy, in English, certainly there's probably a good 20 variations, if not more, of how you could say that. And so we've, over the last 20 years, have developed basically models which can take all of those variations and effectively build code so that it doesn't matter how, you know, if you type something in, I want to buy, I'd like to purchase into a request, it will understand that regardless of how you do it and all the different permutations.
Artificial Solutions says that in the past, technology controlled the user, but conversational AI is about to shift that balance. How in the past have we been controlled by technology, and how would conversational AI change that?
I think that humans have, certainly in terms of technology, say in the last 50 years, been influenced by the restriction in that technology. So we've had to adapt. You know, sort of, you want to turn a TV on, traditionally you'd have to use a remote control or the buttons on it. Whereas with artificial intelligence, and for example, you can take Alexa from Amazon, that basically you can say to Amazon, or can you turn my TV on? And you can say that in a multitude of different ways.
There have been some fails with chatbots and natural language. In 2017, Facebook had to destroy one of their experiments because the chatbots they had created started talking to each other in a separate language. They sort of created this new English sort of language, which is terrifying to me because I know nothing about the field. But I guess from your perspective, is this uncommon, and is it actually dangerous? And what danger would a situation like this pose if it couldn't be destroyed? Or
firstly, this is the sort of the stuff of films and media hype a little bit,
right?
However, that doesn't mean it's not impossible. I mean, if you build into some sort of system, which obviously you would assume be communicating with or have some sort of intelligence or artificial intelligence, and if you built security into that, so effectively it controls its own life, which means it would also need to control, have sort of access to electricity, etc., then, yeah, there is a risk, and somebody could build such a thing. However, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the case like you've just presented of Facebook or Microsoft's bot called Tay, I think, which they produced, was it 2016?
Yes.
I think. These have been experiments which companies have launched on the world and generally failed. And the reason why they fail has generally been because they rely very, very solely on machine learning. They don't use linguistic techniques, which means that their success rate of being able to understand it can be sort of 50 to 80%, like, which is really too low to be reliable. And then the other thing is that these types of systems, like the Microsoft one, for example, there was no restriction on how the bot could regurgitate or use the knowledge which it gained, and that's quite dangerous.
The bot you're speaking about is the Microsoft's AI chatbot, which turned into, and yes, I quote, a racist asshole by Twitter.
Yep. Yes.
So is that because, I mean, is there a risk of chatbots being weaponized by specific ideologies?
If the chatbot's been designed in such a way that it can basically take the information it's got and like I said, basically reuse that, then that's certainly possible. Anything which the company I work for, Artificial Solutions, develops, it's impossible for that to happen because anything which comes out of such a bot is always programmed by hand. So there's no way that could happen with anything which my company produces.
Technology is quite a male-dominated field, and the relationship between artificial intelligence and gender is very interesting and important. And what I find interesting is why technology is created to conform to stereotypical gender binaries. I know that this isn't your particular field, but why robots are being given a gender, and why, like, for example, Sophia the robot is made to have an hourglass figure and to be thin, when how a robot looks, really, I imagine it doesn't affect what it can do at all, intelligence wise. How does this relate to natural communication and your field with text?
Firstly, the software we produce, we try and write as neutrally as possible, so it's not gender specific. And then by human nature, and it depends, I suppose, whether you would be more comfortable communicating with something which might have the nuances of what you believe a female bot might behave like or a male one. Why there aren't more sort of neutral bots around, I couldn't honestly answer. Interestingly, though, my company's actually produced one back in the early 2000s. There was a competition called the Lobner Prize, basically, which is somebody put up some money for people to submit effectively chatbots which could imitate human behavior. My company actually produced one back in this period, and in 2001 we actually won the prize using a bot called Elbot. Now, Elbot's a neutral bot because it looks like a little robot, and interestingly it actually managed to convince three of the 12 judges that it was actually a human. It'll never give you a straight answer for anything, and yet it has memory, so it'll come back at you with answers to things. If you sort of ask it a question, it'll sidetrack you, and then it'll come back later and tell you the answer, and do things like that. So it's a bit. So it's possible to produce neutral bots.
You're working in a field that is, you know, it undeniably is shaping the future of humanity. It's so fascinating. And as we've just spoken about, you know, AI has the power to reinforce or break down gender stereotypes. And is that ever like a casual water cooler conversation at your work, like that responsibility? Or, I mean, if we have certain demographics who are overrepresented in the tech industry, is there the risk that unconscious bias or very conscious bias are being encoded into our future?
That's certainly possible. Certainly at the company I work for, we're very conscious of trying to develop systems which are extremely neutral. And as such, actually, our customers who then go on and build bots using our software often, I mean, they can choose whether it will have a neutral or a male or female persona. Yes, I agree with you entirely that there's a rather disproportionate large number of male sort of employees in the tech sector, but actually at our company, the people who actually write sort of a lot of the linguistic code and things, I think we're predominantly, certainly more than 50% of our what we call computational linguists are actually women at our company.
Oh, wow. In terms of different colloquialisms, how are racial equalities assured in natural language processing? How do you avoid a situation where an AI is more adept at understanding European colloquialisms as opposed to, to give it a New Zealand angle, Māori and Pacifica or our Asian communities' colloquialisms?
Basically, dealing with variations in language, I mean, it's basically what you feed into such a system, whether you're using linguistic or machine learning techniques. I mean, obviously, it's easy to produce sort of pure English or pure German or whatever. We also really focus on trying to include slang and misspellings, colloquialisms, and all those sorts of things. It's not any more difficult, effectively, to do that than dealing with normal language. And it's up to whoever's producing that bot to make that effort. And if they don't make the effort, then of course the bot will be, you know, less able to deal with all of these variations. Just want to go back to one little point, because you're talking about things which we should be worried about.
Yes.
There's an element of AI. I mean, like I said at the beginning, AI is statistics. A lot of it is the modern AI is based, a lot of it is on machine learning, which is statistics on steroids. A lot of scientists nowadays are using AI techniques or these machine learning techniques to try and predict behavior. And I think a classic example would be, for example, the models which came out about 6-odd months ago from Imperial College in London with trying to project and predict COVID-19 transmission rates and how the world's sort of, you know, going to die and the human race is going to go under. And this is one thing which really concerns me, is that these types of advanced mathematics and statistics are being used to make predictions and looking for correlations between different sets of data, and the thing that scares me is that how then basically politicians and other groups of people in power are then basing their sort of their decisions for society on these statistical models, which might not have been proved in sort of experimentally. Mm. And I find that very, very scary.
Is there any way to prevent that?
I think it's really important to deal, whenever you're dealing with sort of any sort of models and predictions and statistics, is to have basically have a good sense of reality. Think about, you know, is this likely? Is the world really going to end? Climate change is another classic one. I just come back all the time to this sort of classic saying, which is correlation does not imply causation. And I just think that the world's a little bit too hung up on these sort of scientists who are great at collecting numbers and crunching them and producing models and predicting what's going to happen without really thinking about reality. That's, I find, more disturbing in some ways than people building bots which might take over the world, which is a little bit more like science fiction.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.